All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Genesis, chapter 4. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but we had to shut school down on Friday because so many folks were sick. So many of our students and our staff were sick with flu or that stomach thing that's going around. All the kids are dropping like flies around here last week. So we decided probably the best thing to do would be to cancel school on Friday. Now they're off tomorrow because of President's Day. And so that thought maybe we'd give them a 4-day swing there that maybe some of them could get their legs back under them again. But this has been some season for the flu and all that. Josh, my son Josh, Pastor Josh, was diagnosed with the flu on Monday. He had one of the strains. I don't remember which one. I think he had B, didn't he? Leanne, do you remember B? And then what? He had A? All right. Are you sure? Okay. Is that what I told you? Okay. But then it must be right. And and then some others came to school on Tuesday, and they had the B strain. So both of them are going around. And then that stomach virus thing, I think it wiped out about half the senior class. And then the first grade had a bunch of kids out, and a bunch of them got the stomach thing. And so it's been quite the week, and I can see from the holes this morning that a lot of the parents are still dealing with it. I know that Josh and Kathy are just watching one by one as their kids are coming down with it. And Leanne's kids had it this last week, or a couple of them anyway, I think. But it's just nonstop. So, you know, the Bible is very emphatic when it says, even this shall pass away. All right? Even this. It will. It will. Just hang in there. It'll get better. And spring is coming. I saw a yard full of robins the other day. Yeah, they had galoshes on, but there was a whole yard full of them. And I thought, wow, that's a good sign. And when you see a bunch of them together, that means they just arrived. They have not been hanging around all winter. Some have hung around. And that's always a bad sign that winter's not going to be as bad as it normally is. But I was coming down Bachman Valley, and there was a whole yard just full of them. I thought, wow, that's a good sign right there. And then when I got up this morning at 6:30, it was almost daylight at 6:30. That's a good sign. Yes, indeed. So it's getting better. And we just hang in there a little while longer. Now, next week, I'm Thursday of this coming week, I'm going to go down to my daughter's in Florida and spend a few days. She is doing better, by the way. Thank you for praying for her. And she is doing better. So thank you for praying. But I'm going to go down and spend a few days. Next Sunday, Pastor Ray and I will meet down at a church in Sanford. I believe it's in Sanford, isn't it? Volusia County Baptist. I think that's in Sanford. I don't know where we're going, but we're going somewhere down there. I'm going to preach, and Pastor Ray is going to teach the Soul Winners Club to their church. So I'll be preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night and down there. And then I have invited Glenn Matthews to come and be here on Sunday, your itinerant pastor, Glenn Matthews. He will be here on Sunday and next Sunday, and will preach for you. So I have not left you without a comforter, all right? All right, Genesis chapter 4 for the message this morning. This is a familiar passage. I'm going to take for granted that everyone knows the story here. If I were to give you a quiz on this, would you pass? You think so? All right, let's see how good you do. Adam and Eve had two children in this chapter. What are their names? Cain and Abel. Very good. All right, which one killed which? Cain killed Abel. All right. And so why did Cain kill him? Yeah, he got angry, didn't he? He got mad. All right. So he proved he was a sinner, didn't he? All right. So when God came and asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" What did Cain say? He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" All right, y'all doing well? All right. So jump down now to verse 16, and let me get on the tail end of the story. And in verse 16 is my text verse. And in verse 16, the Bible says, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Jordan." All right, so Cain got angry because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected his sacrifice. And the Lord told him that, "Cain, if you'll just do what's right and do what you're supposed to do, everything will be fine." But Cain got angry. And so the Lord said, "Just do right, Cain." Well, Cain wouldn't do that. And so he ended up killing his brother, and then God banished him. God banished Cain from his presence. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and he dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now, the Lord was in Eden. The Lord was there in the garden. And so Cain went east of the garden. He went away from the garden. Now, if you go away from the garden, you're not in the garden. Right? Duh. Right? I mean, it's pretty simple, isn't it? If you're not there, then you're not there. And that's what Cain did. All right? So I want to take this story, and I want to take this 16th verse, and I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. And the subject is, I'm just not interested. I'm just not interested. That seems to be Cain's attitude. He just wasn't interested in the Lord. Wanted nothing to do with the Lord. My, that's a terrible place to be in, is it not? All right, let's pray together. And you keep your Bible open right here. And we will look at the story of Cain. I am just not interested. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon the preaching of the Word of God. I want to thank you for each person who is here. Thank you for the health and strength that we have that we can be in church this morning. And there's a lot of our folks who have sick little ones. And I just pray that you'll bless these folks, help these kids to get back on their feet again, get healthy again, so they can get back to school and back to their daily routines. But Father, give us your blessing now. We need to hear from heaven this morning. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this man, Cain, was the first child of Adam and Eve. His story is one that is a picture of multitudes of people throughout the ages. There are so many little nuggets in this chapter and in this story that we could dig out and I could speak about. But I want us to look this morning at an aspect of Cain's life that I think is so obvious, it is so on the surface, that we might read it and just miss it because it is so obvious. And we see that Cain was disinterested in the Lord. That's how I want us to view or to look at the story of Cain today. I have probably through the years preached on this passage of Scripture, I don't know how many times, but I want to take a look at it this morning from the perspective that Cain was just disinterested in the Lord. It seems that he could just care less about God or about being where the Lord was. In verse 2, we read where God blessed Adam and Eve with a second child. And you will notice in verse 2 that when the second child was born, they named him Abel. Now, the name Abel is interesting. That word, that name means he who goes up. He who goes up. And the idea, the theory behind the name is that Abel was always making decisions that bettered his life and which drew him closer to the Lord. When Abel made a decision, it was a decision that bettered his relationship with God and it drew him closer to the Lord. For instance, look again in verse 2. And you will see that Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But, the Bible says, see that little contrasting word there? Abel was a keeper of the sheep, comma, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a farmer. Now, why put that little tidbit in the story? Why make that little contrast? Why put that in the Bible? Why is it in the story? Well, the little word but there helps us to understand why the Holy Spirit put that little information in the text. It is showing a contrast between the two brothers. It is showing us a contrast. Abel chose a field that was connected to his relationship with God. When you offer a sacrifice, you offer the blood of a lamb. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. There is certainly nothing wrong with being a farmer. Not at all. But the Holy Spirit is simply showing us that Abel made a choice in life that helped him in his spiritual decisions. And when the boys got to the age where they began to comprehend and understand spiritual things, they came to the Lord with their offerings. And Abel brought a lamb. It was natural for him to bring a lamb. That was his line of work. But notice that Cain brought a basket full of vegetables that he had grown with his own hands. So Abel brought a lamb, Cain brought the vegetables. So let me ask you a question. How did Abel know to bring a lamb? How did he know that he was supposed to bring a lamb to sacrifice for his sin? Well, I am sure that he was taught to bring a lamb by his daddy. His daddy taught him. You say, well, Pastor, how did Adam know that he was supposed to bring a lamb? How did Adam know? Well, he knew because if you go back to chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God, what's the next word? Make. So God made. God showed them. God showed Adam what he was supposed to bring. He showed Adam that he was supposed to bring a lamb. And so Abel was taught by his daddy that he was supposed to bring a lamb to sacrifice and offer to make an atonement for his sin. So God taught Adam, and then Adam taught his boys, and when it came time for them to sacrifice, Abel brought a lamb to offer as an atonement for his sin, but notice that Cain did not bring a blood sacrifice. He did not offer God a lamb like his father did, like God did for his father. And instead, he brought the work of his hands. Now, when Adam taught Abel, don't you think that he taught Cain as well? Well, of course he did. But Cain said, no, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. And Cain was not the slightest bit interested in doing what he was supposed to do. So instead, he brought the works of his own hands and offered the work of his own hands to God as atonement for his sin. And there was no blood. No blood. You say, well, what if he brought a turnip? Well, there's no blood in a turnip either. Remember? Why do we say that? It's easier to get blood out of a turnip. Why do we say that? I guess because there's no blood in a turnip, right? And so he brought the sacrifice, but it was the wrong sacrifice. And thus began the life of Cain, showing a blatant and outward disinterest for the Lord. He simply was not interested in God in any way. And there are absolutely multitudes of people since Cain who have the same mindset as he had. I have spoken to multitudes of people through the years who have told me that they just weren't interested in serving the Lord. There are so many people that I have spoken to. I'm thinking about a fellow that I, when I first moved here to Westminster, I was going to preach somewhere and got on an airplane, and a fellow in a suit, I had on a suit, and because I had to preach as soon as I got to the church, as soon as the plane landed, and the fellow probably thought we had something in common since we were both wearing suits. I found out we didn't. He was a lawyer. You know what you call a lawyer buried in sand up to here? Not enough sand. Think about it. Not enough. You need it up to here. All right, you'll get that tomorrow, right? All right. All right, good. So he simply was not interested in God. And this fellow that I sat beside, he wasn't interested in God. And he said after a while, well, what do you do? And so I told him that I was the pastor of the Church of the Open Door in Westminster, Maryland. And that was it. I mean, it was like I said, shut up, I don't want to talk to you. I mean, he just clammed up. And he said, after a few seconds, and it was an awkward few seconds, he said, well, that's nice, but I have absolutely no interest in God. And I said, well, why did you tell me that? He said, because I know you people. I said, you people? What does that mean? He said, you know, you preachers. And I said, well, what about us preachers? He said, well, you're going to try and talk to me about God. And I'm not interested in God. And I said, well, sir, there may come a day when your interest in God changes. I don't know when that day might be. You may go through a sickness, or you may lose a child, or you may get afflicted with cancer, or your wife may get afflicted with cancer, or you may lose your spouse. I don't know when that day will come, but probably eventually that day is going to come. And when that day comes, and I reached in my pocket and I pulled out one of the, they were blue at that time, little what if tracks. And I said, you take this, it has my name and number on the back. And if the day ever comes when you get interested in God, would you please call me and I will help you. Now he took the track. That was 4.5 years ago? I mean, it was right after I came here. And so I handed him the track and he put it in his pocket. But he reiterated after he put it in his pocket that he was not interested in God. Folks, every man will be one of these days. Everyone. Now I want you to notice a couple of things here about Cain. Three things I want to share with you this morning. First of all, I want you to see the cause of Cain's disinterest. There is a reason that Cain was not interested in God. And by the way, that reason is the same reason that folks today are not interested in God. You say, well, Pastor, what was his reason? Well, the cause of Cain's disinterest in God was because of one thing. And that one thing is S-I-N. He was not interested in God because of one thing. And that one thing is sin. Sin. Now, two things I want you to notice about Cain's sin. First of all, let's take note of the event of his sin. I've already briefly mentioned his sin, but let's just look at it a little bit deeper. The event of his sin was in connection to the sacrifice. You see, the problem with his sacrifice was that he offered a sacrifice that had no blood. It was a bloodless sacrifice. Now we understand that that from the Bible, and we learn from the Bible about the importance of the blood. God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Jeremiah told us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And Abel brought a lamb and shed the blood of that lamb upon the altar and poured its blood upon that altar. But when Cain came before God, the only thing he offered was the works of his own hands. And folks, this is such a complete picture of what is happening in pulpits all over our world. All over the world, there are pastors and preachers and priests and reverends and ministers and scads of others who will stand and preach a bloodless theology today. And by that, I mean that they leave out of their preaching the necessity of the blood of Christ for the cleansing of sin. And through the ages, it has been these people, ironically, who have persecuted the people who believe in the blood and who preach the blood of Christ as the only means to take away our sin. Isn't that ironic? I mean, the very people that have persecuted the saints through the years are the ones who proclaim a bloodless Christ. And just like Cain murdered Abel, this scenario has been replayed over and over and over throughout history. Secondly, that's the event. But now secondly, let's look at the effect of his sin. Now folks, please understand this truth from the Word of God. Please get this part. Sin causes us not to want to be around God. Sin causes us to not want to be around God. This was seen in the very beginning of the third chapter when God came down to fellowship with Adam and Eve, as was his thing to do. He came down in the cool of the day, the Bible says, to fellowship with Adam and with Eve. Now, look back at your Bible and look at verse 8. And it says in verse 8 of chapter 3, it says, "And they heard," Adam and Eve, "heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife," what's the next word? "Hid themselves." Why would they run away from God? Isn't that something? God shows up and they don't want anything to do with him. Why? Because they had sinned. That's why. Look at verse 9. "And the Lord called unto Adam and said, Where art thou?" Watch this now. Verse 10. "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said," he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man, Adam, said, "It's not my fault, God. It's that woman's fault that you gave me. She talked me into it." Blaming somebody else. And that's what we've done now for 6,000 years. Put in the blame. Not my fault. Not my fault, God. But it is our fault. Please understand, folks, the reason that we don't want to fellowship with God is because of sin. And sin has the exact same effect on each and every one of us today. I believe that the reason why we are seeing this anti-God attitude in our land today is simply because of the sin that is no longer seen as sinful. When you no longer see sin as sinful, then you got a problem in your life and in your nation. You cannot legalize sin. Just because a court somewhere or a Congress somewhere or a Senate somewhere or a House of Representatives somewhere gets together and decides that sin is no longer sin, that does not mean that it has not been seen, that it is not seen as sin by God Almighty. And yet that's what we're seeing our courts and our legislatures do. You cannot legalize marijuana. You cannot sanction same-sex marriage. You cannot make sodomy appear as normal behavior. You cannot legalize gambling all over the country. You cannot have alcohol flow like a river, and a whole host of other sins that have now been made legal by our legislators and by our courts. You cannot do that in a country and still desire to be in fellowship with God Almighty. You just can't do that. But that's where we are as a country. You cannot do those things and desire to be in God's presence. And so if you're here today and you're not having devotions, if you're here today and you're missing church, if you're here today and you're not keeping yourself close to the Lord, no doubt there is a sin condition somewhere in there that you need to deal with. Secondly, I want you to see the conduct of his disinterest. The first thing we looked at was the cause. There was a reason why he was disinterested in God. But then secondly, I want you to notice to see the conduct of his disinterest. We're told in verse 16, in our text verse, that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You see, folks, Cain intentionally left. He intentionally walked away from God. He, on purpose, left the place where he had communed with the Lord. In verse 5, 6, and 7, we are told that the Lord rejected Cain's offering and then came to him after he rejected his offering and said to him, look at verse 5, 6, and 7, Cain, why are you angry? Why are you angry and why are you pouting? What is wrong with you, Cain? Just do the right thing and all will be well. But he just couldn't do the right thing. He wasn't interested in doing the right thing. And the Lord gave him a clear opportunity to repent and to offer the right kind of sacrifice, but he just moved away from the place where he had spoken with the Lord. Can you imagine that? He just walked away from the place where he had communed with God Almighty, his Creator. Why in the world would you want to walk away from the God that made you? You see the point? And the reason is because he was disinterested in God. And when you're disinterested in God, you have no problem walking away from him. None at all. Now, I want you to notice the company in Cain's attitude. The company. He did not want to be where God was, so he intentionally left. He intentionally walked away. Now, folks, listen, it's true that God is omnipresent, and in one sense, you can never get away from God. But make no mistake about it, Almighty God, sure, he's going to know where each of us are, but I'm saying, and Cain found out, that you can choose to walk away from the presence of the Lord, and you can decide that you don't want anything to do with God, and if you do that, God will just let you go. God's not going to force any of us to serve him. That's why he gave you a free will, so you could choose. He's not going to get a baseball bat and make you come to church. He wants you to choose to come to church. He's not going to get a big stick and say, now, you're going to read that Bible or I'm going to wear you out. No, he wants you to choose to read your Bible. He wants it to be a conscious decision on your part. So Cain said, no, I don't want anything to do with that. And he walked away. He decided he didn't want anything to do with God. And he preferred the company of the world as opposed to the company of God. You know, your companions tell a lot about your interest in God. Do you know that? I mean, if you're not interested in the Lord, you will surely hang around those who are not interested in the Lord. They will be your friends. And you show me who your friends are today, and I'll show you what you're going to be like tomorrow. That's true. Then notice not only the company in Cain's attitude, but notice the comparison of Cain's attitude. You say, where's the comparison? Well, I'm going to give it to you. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You understand that principle, right? He walked away from the Lord. Why? Because of sin. And he walked away, was disinterested in God. But let's contrast Cain with another fellow that we find in the Bible, and is quite telling the difference between the two. You got Cain here in Genesis 4. But now I want you to take your Bible and go over to the book of Exodus, the next book in your Bible, and go over to chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And I want you to see something here. By way of contrast. All right, remember, but Cain, all right? Cain, don't forget him. But now look at verse 14 and 15 of chapter 33. Now, in this chapter, God and Moses are having a conversation with each other. And in verse 14, it says that the Lord speaking here now in verse 14, he is God, said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So Moses is saying, Lord, you want us to go over to this land that you promised Abraham, our father. You want us to go to this land. Are you going to go with us? And God says in verse 14, oh yeah, Moses, my presence will be with you. And so look at verse 15. Notice the contrast between Moses and Cain. Cain was disinterested in God, but look at the interest of Moses. In verse 15, Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now, what's that mean? That means that Moses looked at God and said, Lord, okay, but now listen, if you don't go with us, I know you promised this land to my father Abraham and all of his descendants, and that's us and that's me, and I understand that. But Lord, listen, you promised you're going to take us into that land. But Lord, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. We'll just stay here. If you don't go with us, just leave us here and we'll stay in the wilderness. We would rather stay in this wilderness with you than go into the land without you. You see the point? What a contrast between Cain and Moses. I don't know about you, Christian, but I want to dwell in the presence of the Lord. I want the presence of God in my life. I don't want to get up here and preach and the Lord not speak to people's hearts. I don't want to get up here and preach and not have the hand of God upon what I'm doing. I don't want to pray and the prayer hit the ceiling and bounce down and hit me on the top of the head again. I want to be in God's presence, don't you? Would you choose to walk away from God, or would you choose to walk with God? Cain was disinterested, and he just refused God's grace and walked away from him. How sad. But then thirdly, I want you to see the country of his disinterest. Now, we talked about first the cause and then the conduct, but now thirdly, I want you to look at the country. Look at the latter part of this 16th verse. You say, well, what in the world are you going to get out of this? Well, there's some stuff here. Look at the verse. It says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, here it is. And dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. That's the country. You say, well, what's the point, Pastor? Well, this is an interesting statement. I had never really thought about it or looked at it carefully. But when I did, I saw something that I want to point out to you this morning. The land of Nod. Nod means to wander. He went to the land where he just wandered. He couldn't find a home. He just wandered around. He couldn't find a place, listen, he couldn't find a place that made him happy, that met his needs. Do you know why his needs and his happiness were never found? Because he walked away from the Lord. And my dear friend, listen, you're never going to find the happiness and the peace and the joy until you get right with the Lord. You can just mark that down. That's just the way it is. The land of Nod, it means to wander. And for sure, if you walk away from the presence of the Lord, you're going to just simply wander through life. Nod may have popularity, and it may have possessions, and it may have position, but for sure it is a land of the aimless and the dissatisfied and the restless. We can see the land of Nod as a country of dissatisfaction. You see, Nod is like the world today. It just never satisfies. Nod is the land of the wandering spirit. It is the land seeking but never finding. It is the land as Paul said, of ever learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Walking away from God will never work in you finding that peace that passes understanding. You're just not going to find it. Cain's dissatisfaction is also described by King Solomon. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2 and verse 11, the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, he said that he had tried everything in his lifetime. He said, I've done it all. I've seen it all. I've owned it all. Wealthiest man probably that ever lived on this planet was King Solomon. And he said, I've done it all. I've seen it all. I've been there. I've done that. And when he got down to the end of his life, he looked back and evaluated everything. And here's what he said. It's all vanity. It's all emptiness. It's all just vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun, he said. Isn't that something? And if the passing of 6,000 years of human history has taught us anything, it has taught us that a life without the Lord is an unsatisfied life. A few months ago, I preached on that fella in Isaiah 44. And Isaiah said, showing Israel through this picture of this man what they were like. And this man said, man, I have this spiritual hunger in me. I need to worship. And so he got a piece of wood and he carved it out to where it looked like a man. And he put that piece of wood up and he worshiped that piece of wood. But then something happened to him. You know what happened to him? He got hungry. How many of you are hungry right now? Huh? You see, that's natural. I am too, Christopher. That's natural. I mean, we get hungry every couple of hours. We get hungry. And so this man worshiped his idol, and then he said, whew, man, I'm starving. And so he looked around, he couldn't find any wood, but he had a piece of wood right here, his idol. And so he turned that thing upside down, started a fire on it, baked himself some bread, ate the bread and was satisfied, and then his spiritual hunger started kicking in again. And he said, wow, I got to worship again. So he quickly knocked the fire off of his altar, and it was only half of what it used to be, but it still kind of resembled a man. So he stuck it up, bowed down, prayed to it again, worshiped. And then he went to sleep. He woke up the next morning, and lo and behold, what happened? He was hungry. Looked around, no wood. There was his idol, so he set it on fire again. And then finally, he realized just how foolish he had been. And he said, all I've done here is feed my soul on ashes. And you know, folks, ashes aren't worth a dime, are they? I've got a wood stove full of ashes right now. If any of you all want to come and get them, no, you don't care. You don't. They're not good for anything. Nobody's going to be beating a line to my door to get the ashes in my fireplace. Why? They're not worth anything. And that man said, I'm feeding my soul on ashes. And he held up that piece of wood that no longer looked like a man, no longer looked like God in his mind. And he said, as he held it up, "Is there not a lie in my right hand? Is there not a lie in my right hand?" And folks, I am just simply saying that nobody can be satisfied in this life who has walked away from the presence of the Lord. You just cannot be satisfied. And then notice lastly that the land of Nod is, and see it as the country of dishonor. In the last part of the verse, the Bible says that the land of Nod was east of Eden. You see, folks, Eden was where God's honor was. That's where God's honor was. You remember after Adam and Eve had sinned, the Bible said that the Lord God removed them, kicked them out of the garden. And man was prohibited from going back in the garden. And God said that he put up these cherubims in chapter 3, verse 24. He put up these cherubims with flaming sword that were able to see in every direction, north, south, east, and west. And they guarded day and night the entrance to the garden to keep man out. So Cain lived apart from Eden, apart from where he had met with God. He lived apart from Eden simply because he would not honor God's word. Eden was a place, or the place, of God's honor. But Nod was the place of man's dishonor. How many people are disinterested in the Lord because they have a problem with the word of God? Several years ago, a fella got up and walked out on me. Of course, that happens a lot. And when I went out after the service, he said, "I guess you noticed I walked out on you." And I said, "Yeah, I did. I saw you." He said, "I want you to know right now, I don't like all that yelling." I said, "Sir, it's not the yelling that you dislike. It's what I'm yelling that you dislike." He kind of looked at me and he said, "Yeah, you're probably right." I said, "Yelling doesn't bother you. You ever been to a football game? Huh? You ever been to a football game? The more they yell, the better it is, right? Yelling don't bother you. It's what I'm yelling that bothers people. Because the word of God cuts like a knife. And folks don't like to hear that. Disinterested. Why? Because they simply refuse to obey the word of God. Disinterested in God. Folks, notice right here in the beginning chapters of the Bible, we see man in trouble because of his disobedience to God's word. And for all these centuries now and millennia, men have rejected God because they have rejected the word of God. And yet, as we saw last Sunday, when all is said and done, and when the last battle has been fought, and when at last the Lord Jesus sits upon the great white throne for the final judgment of the unsaved world, John tells us when the dead, small and great, were standing before the Lord, John said, and the books were opened. And the books were opened. What books? The dictionary? Oh no, not the dictionary. What books? The World Book Encyclopedia? No, no, not that. I know the Reader's Digest. No, not the Reader's Digest. It says, and the books. Mark Twain's novels? Mm-mm. Robert Ludlum's The Bourne series? Nope, not even those books. How about all those books that they did about the rapture and the tribulation and all that? What's it called? Left Behind series? They're going to open the Left Behind series? No, no, no. And the books, all 66 of them. And the books were opened. And man, every man was judged on the things out of the book. You see, folks, isn't it ironic that for all these years, starting all the way back with Cain, and now for all of these centuries and for all of these millennium, men are going to stand one day before God and be judged by the very books that they have scorned and hated and despised and rejected in their lifetime. Sad, isn't it? My friend, I'm begging you this morning, please don't walk away from the presence of the Lord.